Acts chapter 4, this is in the middle of the story that I'm going to be referencing. This message is entitled Praying for Boldness. Praying for Boldness. And this is, again, like I said, in the middle. And hopefully you know the story, but if not, I'll try to explain most of it to you. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Again, we have already prayed to get this whole thing going. Normally, I would pray just at the start of this. I just want to remind you kind of where we've been and then try to help you to understand where we're going to go today. The messages that I've preached to you yesterday were primarily self-examination messages. Think about who you are, where you are. God knows exactly who you are. The inner recesses of your heart, every thought, there's not one single thing you can hide from Him, so you might as well be honest. And we all have to remember that statement. It's in other places and other ways, but the statement in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And by the way, then, I don't know about you, but I don't want to pray just to have something to do. I want to pray to have my prayers answered, because there are things that I need, and I need desperately, and I want to make sure God is hearing me. So go figure, how about we start with self-examination and figure out if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, make sure that we're right with God. And again, now you think about this in a thousand different ways. Here's Peter, and the example of what he is doing here and what's happening with him, this is what we're going to use this morning. Now, Peter was told before he denied the Lord that there would be, I'm paraphrasing some of this, a day when he would be converted. Because he was actually told by Jesus prior to him denying the Lord, Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Here's good news. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's all prior to his denial. And obviously, at the time, they didn't have a crucified, buried, risen Savior. He hadn't breathed on them in John 20 and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so I get they weren't converted, but the conversion process for Peter was really hard. He really, when you think about it, had to be completely broken down. And forgive me for using this, but I think Peter would probably, if he was standing here preaching to you right now, he would say his arrogance, his overconfidence, and when I say that, all that's true. He was far way too overconfident in himself. Thought at one point he actually had the right to rebuke Jesus. It's just shocking. When Jesus begins to talk about going to the cross, Peter takes him and began to rebuke him. And that's the point where Jesus turns to Peter and says, go figure, because who's he speaking for at the time? Get thee behind me, Satan. He says that to Peter? You know, Peter, who ends up in the book of Acts being so filled with the Holy Spirit and guided by God, that they want to put people in his shadow, in the street, that maybe his shadow would overcast some of them. They'd be healed by his shadow. That's Peter. Peter, after conversion, is a completely different person than Peter before conversion. And Peter's mistakes. Now, having said that, okay, you and I, self-examination, we think about it. Made plenty of mistakes. Anybody that's made mistakes, say amen.
Amen.
There's at least five of you. Praise the Lord. The rest of you, we have invitations throughout the day. You can get right with God. All of us have made plenty of mistakes. That doesn't mean you can't be used. Because you've been wrong in the past doesn't mean you can't be right in the future. You and I need to know this. Sometimes, again, I told you this yesterday, just a little quip statement that, you know, the Lord wants to discourage you in a thousand different ways, tries to keep you from praying, thinking hyper-sovereignty of God thoughts. God's going to do whatever he's going to do. Why are you praying about it? Dumb thoughts. You've prayed for things before and they haven't been answered. I tried to answer some of those questions yesterday with the vials in heaven in the book of Revelation that are filled with the prayers of the saints. And a bunch of other things that we have covered. Some of that was in the very beginning of the day. But having said that, here's Peter. One of the other things that happens, and I'm sure this happened to Peter and he struggled with it, at different times because you've messed up. The Lord's not going to hear you. And by the way, that is the devil's voice. Right. The Lord does. Thou that hearest prayer unto thee shall all flesh come from the book of Psalms. God really does hear prayer and he wants you to pray. If you are not capable of praying and having your prayers answered, you personally, put your name there. If you were not able to pray and have God hear your prayers and answer your prayers, he wouldn't have told you 10,000 times in scripture to pray. He doesn't give us activity just to keep us busy. He wants to answer our prayers and he wants us to know how we can have our prayers answered. This is important stuff. So we have the Peter prior to conversion. Here what we have now is we have the post-conversion Peter. And with this post-conversion Peter, okay, now we're not in the realm of self-examination. I'm not telling you, by the way, don't examine yourself from this point forward. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you know this, and I hope you do this. Self-examination should be done every day, all day. Did I just do what God gave me to do? And oh, by the way, at the end of the day, this is a great practice. Okay, thinking back through the day, Lord, is there anything that I goofed up that I have not yet apologized for? And then tomorrow, when you wake up in the morning, now you do the same thing on Sunday morning. I'm doing that on the drive down here, the Lord. I cannot do this. I don't know how to preach. I can talk like to people. This is, anybody can yap, but I can't make people understand. The Holy Spirit's got to open people's understanding and open my mouth and help me to say the right thing. I am incapable of doing anything right. I am incapable on my own, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know that. So there's that balance all the time. Yes, Peter messed up. Yes, he messed up big. Yes, everybody throughout history and in the future knows about it because the words are eternal. Everybody writes down this major mess up of Peter. But now, praise the Lord, and I am so glad for this. Everybody writes down, bear with me as I say this, the greatness of Peter. Peter ended up being a great guy. He really did. Flawless? No. I was talking to Pastor Mike about that after the service, okay? Yeah, there's a time later where Peter is reprimanded by Paul for something that, but you know what? Peter can see Paul's mistakes and Paul can see Peter's mistakes and I can see yours and you can see mine. That's not always a bad thing. But Peter's not flawless, but wow, is he being used by God. He's being used by God not only to write the books of 1 and 2 Peter, but here in this segment of scripture, I want you to think about a couple of things. First of all, just kind of setting up for this, look back with me at Acts chapter 1, because again, like I told you, in this particular segment, we're in the beginning of this, or the middle of the story. Look at the beginning of it, and so we've got Acts chapter 1, and I think, again, you'll know these things. Pastor Mike, did you tell me in one of your regular sessions you're going through the book of Acts? Did you tell me that, and where are you in the book of Acts right now? Oh, so you did 4 years ago. Okay, who cares? That would be me preaching. It would be years ago. I'm still in Acts chapter 10. Some of you know what that is. Anyway, having said that, Acts chapter 1, and again, you kind of know these things, but here they go. Verse number 12, Acts chapter 1, verse number 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room. Oh, and I love this. Thank you, Lord, for using stupid people like us and like Peter. The first guy mentioned in the list, the one who denied the Lord earlier and looked like an idiot in front of everybody, God puts his name first. Praise the Lord. So here we are, and they came into an upper room where abode, and they abode there. They didn't just spend 5 minutes there, check in with the Lord and leave. Abode Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot or Zelotes, however you want to pronounce that, and Judas, the brother of James. Beautiful, wonderful. These all continued with one accord in prayer. Did he learn anything by not praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? I bet you the answer is yes. So they're not going to make that same mistake again. It's not like I'll never goof up again, but man, I learned that stupid lesson by my own stupidity. I denied him right after that. I guarantee you Peter had these thoughts. If he was here standing in my shoes, he would tell you this stuff today. So here he is spending time praying. And by the way, you know, just fast forward, you know what they're doing in the beginning of chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit falls, right? They're all doing that same thing. They're continuing with prayer. They're continuing to pray. So they're praying in Acts chapter 1. They're praying in Acts Acts chapter 2. Guess how chapter 3 starts. Chapter 3, what's happening here? Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. Peter and John went up together unto the temple, into the temple at the hour of prayer. What do you suppose they were going to do? Tell all those Jews they should stop praying now, because what are you wasting your time for? The sovereignty of God, he's going to do whatever he wants to do anyway. Why are you bothering? You guys have messed up so bad, he'll never hear you. No. Yeah, of course I messed up. That's why I need prayer even more than before. Let's get into the house of God and spend some time in prayer so you can see, if you'll think about it, the Acts of the Apostles are not really the Acts of the Apostles. They're the Acts, okay, done by the apostles, but under the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit, because they've been spending some time in prayer. That'd be the long title for the book. These guys acting now, okay, they're being done in their physical flesh, but it's being done by the Holy Spirit because they've been spending some time in prayer, and they have the power of the Holy Spirit on them. They've been honest about themselves, and now they have some boldness. And then when we get to Acts chapter 3, they went up there at the hour of prayer. And you know, Acts chapter 3 and verse number 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in the temple, walking, leaping, praising God. Why does this happen? Somebody got converted, was alone with God then in prayer, but at the same time with other people, corporate prayer. It's beautiful. They were all together in one accord. But there was something that had to happen inside Peter where he personally was converted. It's just not just like somebody else in the room praying. And this changed his life. It changed the church. It changed the apostles. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it changed the world, because some people got serious about this concept of prayer. And in this chapter then, they heal this man. The people come running, and Peter says, "Why are you looking on us as if by our own strength we made this man whole?" And he begins to preach unto him Jesus and all the things that Jesus did and all the things that Jesus wants to do for them, like he wants to do these things for you. And Peter's just amazing now, from the guy who was weeping after that major mess up. It's one of the texts that is the hardest for me to read, not just the fact that he messed up, but reading how he felt after that. He went out and wept bitterly. Right before that, one of the Gospels brings this out, and I can't even imagine what that look was, but it says that Jesus turned and looked on him. Ooh, can you imagine that look? And maybe some of you are like, "I've had that look," because when... Yeah, not just from your wife, it's not a joke like that, but when you've messed up and you feel the weight of that mess up. But again, these things are beautiful and they're all important, okay? Self-examination, you mess up. Maybe you've been in church. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus, but you're not converted. Peter was walking with Jesus and he wasn't converted. Have you been born again? Not are you religious, are you Baptist, did you get wet in a Baptist tank? Have you been born again? Have you understand the crucified, risen, and buried and risen Savior, that is he now inside, living inside of you, that can live out these same works, the acts of the apostles? Can they be the acts of the members of Madison Baptist Church? They sure should be. And again, they're all maybe a slightly different than these miracle sign gifts that they were given at the time. But man, I reject the idea that the Holy Spirit doesn't work anymore. I reject that idea. And again, there's a lot of Baptists that don't even understand the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a shame. I believe this church does, and you definitely should. The Holy Spirit still works and works in a powerful way and wants to work. Very importantly, so here he does these wonderful things, points everybody to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you know some of these things. You know, for example, the verses 11 and 12. Now, I read for you at the very beginning in chapter 4, where they came upon them being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That's verse number 2 of chapter 4. Many of them which heard believed, and it actually mentions thousands of them. They kept them, though, However, in the prison, and they kept him overnight in the prison because it was eventide. The next day, they pull him out in front of everybody, and they have to give testimony. Peter is still filled with the Holy Spirit because he's been walking with God. I'd be willing to bet you he spent the night praying in prison. I guarantee you Paul wasn't the only one to do that with Silas. And it doesn't say all the same things about Paul and Silas later in the book that it says, or it doesn't say that about Peter that it does later in the book about Paul and Silas. But I love the fact that you know these words. Again, chapter 4, verse 11. This is the stuff that Peter says. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So again, we're talking about, and I wanted to get this clear picture as I am repeating myself on purpose. It's not just being senile. This is a guy who messed up majorly, who had to get alone and examine himself, and was for a time, I'm sure, embarrassed and separated from the other disciples, not quite like Judas, but there was some major embarrassment there, and everybody knew about his mess up. And I don't know if you've caught or thought about and studied that through and really just kind of meditated on a bit, but one of the Gospels also that says, you know, go tell, after the resurrection, go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm resurrected from the dead. I think that there was a personal one-on-one meeting with Peter that's kind of alluded to later in Scripture. Wow, does the Lord love people who mess up as long as they get right with God? Amen and amen, because you can learn something by those mistakes. Why is Peter so bold now? Because now he knows he's right. You actually can know you're right. You actually can know you're right. The world that we're living in is trying to convince you there's no such thing as right or wrong. It's just a difference of opinion. That's not true.
Amen.
There is a right and there is a wrong. And it isn't my estimation. Oh, you Baptists just think you're right. No, we don't. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you right now, a lot of time Baptists I've met are wrong, including the Baptist behind the pulpit. God often shows me that I'm wrong and then I have to get right. Right and wrong is based on what God said in the Word. This is the truth. This is the truth. This is the standard. This is what's right. How does Peter know he's right now? Because he's right with Jesus. He's finally doing exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has given him to do. He's been spending some time in prayer. The Holy Spirit is speaking to him through the Word. Keep your finger there in Acts chapter 4 and look back at Acts chapter 1. Ladies and gentlemen, this is beautiful stuff. Half of this is not in my notes, so you don't have to give me a tip for it or anything. It's totally free. Acts chapter 1, look at this. You remember that they continued in prayer? And verse number 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer. Beautiful. Acts chapter 1, verse number 14. In prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of James, with his brethren. Verse 15, don't stop there. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the disciples were about 120. It's average-sized church as it really, you know, cranks up. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them. Do you know what's happening there? Because he's spending time in prayer, he is also now beginning to understand scripture. And he's able to actually now, for the first time before the day of Pentecost, be able to be the guy that stands up in front of the entire group and be able to expound scripture to them. The guy who looked like an idiot in front of everybody preaches the first message in this church even before the day of Pentecost. And he's, okay, he's cutting his teeth, so to speak, on this stake. And he's not, you know, the Holy Spirit's endowment and power hasn't really come on him until the day of Pentecost. But he has the Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 20, breathed on them, received the Holy Ghost. Luke, at the very end of it, says, at that time, that same time, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He's spending time in prayer. The Holy Spirit's revealing scripture to him. This is a beautiful thing. I say this because this is one of the things that I know about you. And I know about me, and I know just about Christians. When you're on the right track, The Holy Spirit will begin to open up scripture in your head. When you're on the right track, it's one sign of many. But when you're on the right track, the Holy Spirit will begin to open up scripture in your head. One of the greatest things that happens to me, for me, with me, which I do not deserve, when I am preaching and I get done with a sermon and I'm talking to people afterwards and they begin to say, "Pastor, I was thinking about da-da-da-da-da in the Bible where you were talking about, did you ever think about that scripture?" You know what's happening there? The Holy Spirit is speaking scripture to you that I didn't even mention. That's not me, that's him. That means I might have been on the right track with what I said. And you might be on the right track with what you're thinking. That's a miracle. That's the Holy Spirit beginning to do that, because there's Peter. So why am I saying that, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, because the devil's going to try to beat you up over your mistakes. How in the world would you ever know that you're on the right track then? Okay, there's that still small voice that begins to speak to you. You can begin to feel. Scripture begins to open up and the Holy Spirit kind of speaks to you in your ear and says, something about something in the Bible. And you can think of another text in Scripture. You can think of something else that maybe you memorized years ago. You can think of a sermon that you heard. You can maybe understand something Jesus said a long time ago. And that's what's happening with him. And then thinking about the book of Psalms, which he begins to quote, which tells me he might have been praying and reading the Bible at the same time. Go figure. And the Holy Spirit's beginning to reveal some things to him. This is beautiful. And now what begins to happen then, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't just, you know, the day after the resurrection, Peter becomes such a giant. The day after the resurrection, Peter becomes such a giant that people are putting people in the shadow of Peter that they might be healed. And no, it's a process. It's a process. The Lord begins to reveal himself a little more and then reveal himself a little more and reveal himself a little more. By Acts chapter 4, where does he get that boldness from? Where does a goof up? Where does a guy who messed up in front of everybody, where in the world, who do you think you are? Well, I'm nothing. Matter of fact, everybody else says, those guys are nothing. But they have been with Jesus. Remember? They're unlearned and ignorant men, but they've been with Jesus. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're looking for. Where are you going to get your boldness from? How are you going to be able to speak for the Lord? How are you going to be able to serve the Lord? How are you going to be able to do anything from the Lord from? Okay, if the Lord's called you to preach, maybe, how would you do that? You need to get alone with Jesus. That's what you got to do, man. You really got to do that. How are you going to sing a special? I hope you're not singing a special in your flesh. I hope you're not playing the piano or this digital in the flesh. I hope you're not trying to teach a Sunday school class in your flesh. I hope you're not trying to go street ministry in your flesh, do a nursing home in your flesh, try to talk to your neighbor or a coworker or somebody at the gas station in your flesh. You and I need God's help. We need him and his boldness. This is what we're praying for. This is why we do the self-examination. Let the Lord show us that we're wrong so that we can be totally changed. The Holy Spirit can really open our understanding. We can begin to have the boldness that other people can see. Now, listen, when that boldness comes and other people can see it, does the devil stop? Is he now afraid of you? He's going to back off because he can see Cohan is bold, and so he's never touching Cohan ever again. I'd be willing to bet you that's not true. I bet you if you talk to Eric Cohan, you probably find out the devil's all over his back. And mine too. And by the way, don't be fooled by a pastor who preaches the truth emphatically and passionately from the pulpit. Yours, me, or a visiting evangelist, or a guest speaker. It doesn't matter who it is. Don't think that they don't struggle. We struggle like crazy. Because we try to be bold for the Lord and we are speaking the truth. I really believe these things. I really believe these things. Otherwise, I wouldn't be preaching to you the way that I do. But that doesn't mean the devil leaves me alone on Monday. Oh no. He actually attacks me more. He can't stop what I did, but he sure wants to keep me from ever doing it again. He's all over people who are trying to do the right thing. Get back to Peter and see Acts chapter 4 and think of the bigger picture, what's happening here. So, okay, what happens after they see the boldness? Peter's pretty bold. We're going to back off. What happens after they know that he'd been with Jesus? He's been with Jesus. We better back off. Oh, no. Verse number 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, beholding the man which was healed standing with them, that they could say nothing against it. When they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what should we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it because it is true. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. Pause. When you try to serve the Lord, someone is going to threaten you. It may be a human, but it's not really a human. It's the devil. He wants you to feel threatened. You know, I think all of you know this. The world changed in many, many ways in 2020. We had a lot more freedom of speech before 2020. But once 2020 happened in COVID and then this massive government overreach telling you everything you had to do. Now look, I don't know how you feel about it. I don't really care. I'm just telling you the truth. Since when does the government get to tell the church how you have to run your services? Right. We have some things in our Constitution about that. The government is not supposed to tell the church anything, let alone how it's supposed to run the services. Now look, I get it too, because we're supposed to do a funeral for my mother who died in early 2020. And okay, the family was nervous about the funeral, and we were nervous about the funeral because just 20 minutes from my house over in Baraboo, there were some family members who decided to have a funeral for their loved one. And I got news the week before my mom's funeral that the police showed up because there were too many people at the funeral. Some things went nuts in 2020. It seems like the world changed. So in our church, we were wondering, like, okay, if they say 6 feet apart with the chairs, are we supposed to do that? But then at some point, you got to go, wait a minute, wait. Since when did they tell us how to run our church? That, by the way, that's dangerous. I don't care what it is. They should not be telling us how to do anything inside of our church. If you decide masks, chairs, don't shake hands, hand sanitizer everywhere, that's the church's business. I believe wholeheartedly in local church autonomy. But you guys should be deciding that. Since when is it the government's job to tell you how to do that? Since when do the disciples do exactly what they're told by the government just to make them happy? And oh, by the way, Satan, if he did that in 2020, what's he going to try to do next? And I'm not trying to start a war inside your church. I'm just saying, you know, at some point, the God's people have to say, you know what? We ought to obey God rather than men. And it seems like somebody here says this. What should we do to these men? Indeed, a notable miracle hath been done by them. It's manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, but we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. I got to ask you a question, because you got limits, you got lines, I'm sure you do. What if at some point somebody tells you, here or at work, you are not allowed to use the name Jesus anymore. You are not allowed to use the name Jesus anymore. That name is offensive. Well, it was offensive right here. And they said, you are not allowed to speak in that name anymore. Where are your lines? Where are your limits? What will you say no to? I hope you get right with God. I hope you have power in prayer. I hope you're bold like Peter. And John, and when they went up into the temple and healed that guy. But you really need to realize Satan's not going to take a back seat and do nothing. If you start witnessing for the Lord, he's not going to sit by and do nothing because he's scared of you. He's going to threaten you. This message is entitled Praying for Boldness. Wait a minute. Peter already has boldness. I know. How long will it last? How bold will he be? What do they do with these threats? These threats, and by the way, the threats don't stop. You realize you read the book of Acts, they actually kind of get worse. Verse number 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. You can be downtown and do your street ministry thing, and you can speak about love, but you're not allowed to speak the name of Jesus anymore. What would you do? This is what happened here. Peter's still bold in verse number 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen. So, they backed off. Oh no, Peter and John are just too bold. Oh no, that's not what happens. Verse number 21, you see what happens in 21? So when they had further threatened them, the threats don't stop. They never will. If you cave, they will make you continue to cave. Now you can't speak in Jesus' name anywhere. You can't wear that cross anymore. You can't, what's next? At some point, God's people got to say, no, I am living for Christ. I'm letting people know I'm a Christian. I'm going to use the name of Jesus. And by the way, I don't like it when you use it as a swear word. Because if I can't use it at all, you're not using it as a swear word. That's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good grief, we have cowered. We need to pray for boldness. Not arrogance or overconfidence in the flesh or being angry. The Lord reminds me of this often. Speaking the truth in love. I get that. But sometimes God's people have to say, no, 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 I'm not going along with that. I might choose to do that on my own. I mean, honestly, just stop thinking. I'm all fine. Don, I hope it's okay that I use you. Now you're going to be on the internet. When I walked in, you know, Don had been sick for a little bit, and Don, I reached out to shake his hand, and he said, I probably should bump your elbow. I've been real sick. That didn't offend me. I'm not against bumping hands. I'm not against using hand sanitizer. What I'm against is the government telling the church what to do. That's what I'm against. Once you start down that road, it is very dangerous, Madison Baptist Church. And I feel for you guys. You're in Dane County. You're living in Little Moscow. That's Madison. I get it. I get it. I know where you are. And you should hear what Reedsburg thinks of Madison. Not you guys. I'm just saying the capital. Most of the rest of the state says, ooh, Madison, why? I feel bad. That church needs some prayer. Yes, that church does need some prayer. And you guys need to pray for some boldness in the place that you are living. Not arrogance, not anger. And by the way, there are some other things. I just got 7 minutes left, and I want to try to be timely here. The Lord reminds me of this. I don't know if this verse was written just for Fred. It's actually not the book of Fred. It's the book of James. But it says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So, hey, cool off, buddy. There's a difference between your flesh and boldness in Christ. And there is. But we need boldness in Christ to speak for him and not be intimidated. And I got to tell you, the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's going to try to intimidate you. There is a, just think about it with me. There is a spirit of intimidation in the world. And it's doing everything it can, that demon of intimidation, to try to keep your mouth shut. You probably heard it in your ear, sometimes in the middle of the night, sometimes after work, sometimes after you witnessed, after you talk to somebody, after you preach, after you sing a special. You're such an idiot. You should never do that again. That really came off stupid. You didn't say that right. What, can't you do anything right? Don't you know what a sinner you are? Anybody ever heard that voice? That's the devil trying to intimidate you. And by the way, remember, the reason I said a couple minutes ago, it's a human that might say it to you, but it's not the human. You know what it means in Ephesians when it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood? It's not about that flesh and blood that's right in front of you. What's really happening is principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what's really happening. Satan does not want you to ever speak in this name ever again. So So let's wrap this up in the next 5 minutes. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 24. It's beautiful. Acts chapter 24. You know what? Let's do 23, because this is a church. This is a church setting. What are we supposed to do with that? Being let go after being threatened and all that stuff, they went to their own company. Why are you here? Thank you very much. You're supposed to get together with other believers in Christ and say, you know what? I feel like an idiot. I feel stupid. I mean, I tried to speak up for the Lord. I mean, yeah, I'm a sinner and stuff. And, you know, the voice I hear in my head is right. I don't deserve to speak up and use the name of Christ. I mean, I've said so many stupid things with this mouth. It's hypocritical for me to use it to praise Jesus because, yeah, but then somebody else should be honest with you and say, hey, look, you're just the same as the rest of us sinners around here. We all say dumb stuff. But the Lord wants us to get that right in prayer and then get back out there and speak up for Jesus Christ. All of us need to do that. So they go to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, oh no, they were afraid. No, they were not. They didn't stop. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Here they are praying again. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. This isn't just for a prayer conference every single time. You feel intimidated, or you feel like you can't do it, or you feel like a failure, or feel like a loser. This is the army of God getting back together every single week, multiple times a week, praise the Lord, hopefully, for a debriefing. How did your week go? To charge the troops up again and get you to get back out there and fight those battles again for the Lord. This is what we're supposed to be doing, and we're supposed to be lifting up our voices in prayer because the devil's not going to stop with his intimidation, and we have got to pray for boldness and got to get the boldness for the Lord. Look, again, I'm going to read on now because I don't want to cut this segment of Scripture short. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? Yeah, and they sure do. And the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and all the people of Israel were gathered together. I see they realize that this is purposed by God in verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. That was all God's will. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I got to give you just a couple things. I'm going to wrap this up. I love that segment of Scripture. Absolutely love it. It's beautiful. I want to point out to you, the thing that got them in trouble was the healing. And they don't pray that the Lord helps them to never have to do that again. They pray, Lord, help us to do that more. So the correlation here, because again, we don't have the gifts of healing. I don't think there's probably a healer in the room. That was a sign gift given to them at the time. But the Holy Spirit still does give gifts. If you can preach or sing or pray or do anything for the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit's guiding and leading. And praise the Lord, I'm glad the Holy Spirit has not been removed from us. We are sealed until the day of redemption. What a blessing. But having said that, we need God's power and God's Holy Spirit, the one that has helped us to do more, that we felt like we were losers and idiots and felt those threats. I need to pray for boldness to keep doing that. Lord, I felt stupid after the last time I preached. Help me to do it again. Lord, I felt stupid after the last time I sang a song. Help me to do it again. Lord, I felt stupid after I witnessed to my neighbor. I felt like an idiot. I felt that condemnation, that threat. Help me to do it again. And the last thing I want to try to give you is this isn't just for old people. Younger people, I'm concerned about you. I remember what it was like to be young. Yes, it was a while ago, but I do remember that the biggest drive, the strongest drive, the greatest motivation, I don't know how you want to say that, inside of me, was just to blend in, just to fit in, man. I didn't want to stand out and look like an idiot in front of everybody else. I don't want anybody mocking me, laughing at me, thinking I'm you know, too religious or too spiritual or whatever, wanting to fit in, that is a great pressure from young people. But you know what? If you are truly going to be a servant of Christ, you are not going to ever really fit in.
That's right.
With everybody else. And the world doesn't want you to fit in. You need to pray for boldness, not arrogance, not pride, not thinking you're better than anybody else. Humility like Peter. Yep, I've goofed some up, but I am right now because I am serving the Lord. And Lord, I need boldness to keep on serving you and to not blend into the world around me and let them tell me how to run the life of a Christian. Let's have a final word prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the opportunity for us to go through these things. Lord, Peter is such a great example. I thank you, Lord, that you put these things in the Bible about Peter, the failures and the successes. What a great thing. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged by those things, be reminded by those things, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts personally, that if you did that with Peter, just a fisherman, that you can do that with us. Please, Lord, guide the rest of this day and the rest of the messages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.